Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get a premium finish with less odor and fumes for your painting project with Rust-Oleum's low odor spray paint. It provides a long-lasting, durable finish, making it perfect for indoor or outdoor projects. Save big on Rust-Oleum spray paints. Now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello and welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for the 1st of August 2022. I'm joined by Josh.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about the criminal memes. Britain's trans clinic forcing itself to close,
or being forced to close.
And Mum's Comics Feminist Gibberish, which I think we're going to have a lot of fun with, to say the least. I enjoy your psychology background on that as well. But anyway.
I don't know what's in store for me because I have no idea what this is.
Just to mention first, just a note about video comments. So video comments, as the rules are written, which are going to be to play to our discretion, and going to be enforcing that a little bit more. If for no other reason than the editor's sanity in regards to some of them. But just an announcement there about why some will play and some won't, and they have that. Otherwise, we shall get into the news. So, on the criminal memes. So, I mean, there are many criminal memes in the modern world.
Too many, really.
Yeah, I mean, there was the Nazi pug. That was a good one back in the day. There was quoting song lyrics from, Chelsea Russell in Liverpool? Mm-hmm. You may remember? That was golden meme.
There was a police officer that was arrested for one about George Floyd.
Yeah, now we have the criminal meme of the progress flag, the flag itself.
Oh, I know what this is.
Just to mention first, of course, we're going to plug a podcast here being the origins of intersectionality, which will explain the origins of that flag if you're confused as to why the world went from this, traditional pride flag of multicolors to the one with the chevron, and why that one seems to make a swastika and why that's very relevant.
But it's so obviously satire, isn't it? It's unbelievable that this is criminal at all.
Well, that's blasphemy.
What's happening to this country?
Because the first link we can see, just the country we live in, just to remind everyone. This is modern Britain. Keep it in mind. Mm-hmm. This is a place in which you will accept the ideology. I mean, literally, this is Propaganda Street in, Pride Reich. Anyway, but we shall move to the next one here because we also have the fact that the police very much up and sold on this for people who may not know in Britain.
Aren't the police meant to be a non-partisan organisation, ideally? Well, and that's clear partisanship, isn't it? Because
also see Stonewall.
Oh, yes.
That's... Next. Sorry. Just the next car as well having that. And the reason this is very relevant is because Stonewall have now been outed as wanting to transition three-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. I think it was two-year-olds, wasn't it?
Oh, was it?
Up to two-year-olds, yeah.
Oh, great. Okay. So why wait another year?
Even worse, yeah.
We go to the next one here, John. It's just the same thing, which is just for anyone who's unaware, which is, yes, the police force are entirely political, in case this is a shock to you. And, this is why what happened. So to tell the story, just chronologically, Mr. Lawrence Fox was musing one day with his Twitter account and thought... That flag looks awfully sunny, and put four of them together and made a new profile picture, as you can see there.
It didn't make me laugh when I saw it, because obviously it's satirizing the fact that it's a new regime that can't be questioned, that if you question it, you get your life destroyed. I mean, that's evident just from looking at what he's done here.
Yeah, I mean, they might send the police around and arrest you for blaspheming against the ideology. Man,
how that... proves his point more, doesn't it?
That would be a totalitarian. God, we don't live there. Anyway, so moving on to the next one, we have the fact that the response to this, of course, was people from the Green Party calling for him to be arrested because they wanted to prove the point in real time. You see, this is a hate crime. She's calling on the Police and Crime Committee to investigate him under the Met Police for a post. Yep.
This is the same Green Party as well that are more than happy to actually cheer on actual criminal behaviour in that recently there were, I think it was Animal Rebellion, like an offshoot of Extinction Rebellion, just going to Waitrose in London and pouring loads of milk on the floor, like children.
Yeah.
And they're just like, yes, these are the groups we support.
These are their values. But also the Green Party being, you know, wokeist as well. You could also see the fact that they're personally hurt by the woke flag being pointed out to be what it is. And the reason they take that so personally is because it reflects reality, of course. Because when it comes to it, I mean, they both have something in common, Nazism and woke ideology, which is, well, race socialism, for one.
Oh, yeah, they're fixated by race as a primary animating political principle, and that's not exactly the behaviour of a normal, healthy political movement, is it?
Like They Live, it's just the glasses they put on to view the entire world through a racial lens, and it's why she got so butthurt about that. Also, Twitter, very butthurt about that, because if you have the next link here, Lawrence was quickly banned for that one. He had to get a deal where he deleted it and then got his account back, but there we are, and he seems to have just done it again, because as you can see, which is very funny. But that's not where the story ended, of course, and that's why we're not making a segment, because we've spoken about that last time. However, now we have the literal police visits. I'm not kidding, either, for people who might be confused. As you can see here, this is a live stream he put up of where someone he knew, someone who retweeted his original image, had done that, and then was getting visits by the police saying that he was going to be arrested for this. So he went down with Harry Miller, who you may know, the Fair Cop guy. Who got
We've had him on the podcast before.
Yeah, to defend him. Harry Miller being famous because he was visited for liking a limerick. So the police came around to quite check his thinking. So, he's very familiar with this sort of thing.
He is also a former police officer, so he knows that a lot of what they're doing here is beyond the powers that they're granted in the first place, which makes it even worse because they're going out of their way to do something which isn't strictly legal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we can play the clip because it's just so long, but you can see the fact that in the video, if you watch it yourself, Harry Miller, being an ex-police officer, just keeps advising them. And he's just like, look, by the way, under pace, like, you actually haven't done your duty to even get to an arrest, never mind, you know, shoving him in an interrogation room for this. Like, none of this makes sense. This isn't legal, and I'm not going to let you do it. And they say, well, if you're not going to let us in to arrest this guy, we'll arrest you for obstruction. And he goes, okay.
For reminding them of the law and potentially making them avoid getting themselves in trouble.
Yes. So they arrested him for obstruction. Shoved him in handcuffs because, you know, he's a threat to the public. And then shoved him in the paddy wagon and then took him to police station. And as you can see here, he has absolutely no chill in response to this, which I love. I love Harry Miller. Interview room, Basingstoke, midnight. Me. Before I commence this interview, I want a copy of Section 127 of Communications Act, Section 5 of the Public Order Act, and a copy of the Code of Ethics. The police say, you're not conducting this interview, we are. Harry Miller, that's what you think. I love how little of a fuck he gets. Sorry for swearing, but it's so true.
Like, well, he knows the law and he's confident that he can outmaneuver them, and fair play to him. I know that if I were ever to be arrested, he would be the person that I would want in my corner.
Yeah, I mean, just like, you know, living police officer, lawyer, and legend all in one. And it worked, because if you go to the next one here, we can see the fact that update, he's been released, no charge. He didn't do anything wrong, literally, and was able to presumably annoy them enough that they just let him go. We're like, oh, I've got better things to do, like arrest people for tweets.
So being annoying actually works, of getting out of being arrested, apparently.
Seems to. But, of course, they didn't just arrest Harry. They then arrested the chap in question, who had reposted the original image, the criminal meme, as it is called. And in the next image we can see this, in which the police explain to the man they're arresting, someone has been caused anxiety based on your social media post. And that's why you're being arrested. Over a meme. Someone got anxiety. I don't know how you even define that. I mean, what does that even mean? Just, I'm a bit butthurt, therefore send him to jail, governor?
I mean, seeing Muslims take over Speaker's Corner gives me anxiety, but they're not going to arrest them anytime soon.
Don't have the manpower. And we shall see the clip itself if we play.
No. Does Wiltshire Police would realise how ridiculous this is?
It is. What did it need to come to?
Tell us why you escalated it to this level. Because I don't understand. I posted something that he posted. You come to arrest me, you don't arrest him. Why has it come to this? Why am I in cuffs? Because of something he shared, then I shared.
Because someone has been caused, obviously, anxiety based upon your social media post.
It just makes no sense. So, if for people who couldn't hear, he's asking, okay, so Lawrence is literally right there live streaming. I retweeted his tweet, and I'm the one being arrested, not him. Which makes even less sense.
Oh,
and the officer explains
so
that, well, the person was offended by your sharing, not the original. It's just mad. But we all know the real reason, which is if they arrested Lawrence Fox, him being a big political activist and leader of the Reclaim Party, this law would be gone tomorrow.
That's exactly what I said, was going to say, sorry. Mm.
They would immediately lose the power, the tyrannical power they actually have, which is to arrest people for political opinions the police don't like.
Well, they're targeting the little guys, aren't they? They're not targeting prominent people. I mean, all the things we've said on this podcast, we haven't been arrested. Whereas, I mean, stuff like that, it's not really on par with what we do day in, day out. And yet we've not been paid a visit.
No, I mean, some ex-vet sat at home, you know, likes a retweet or something, please come round. And the police can do that and they can enforce the ideology. You know, you can't blaspheme against us without kicking too much of a fuss that they reckon their powers might be taken away.
So obviously a two-tiered police system where they only enforce it on people who don't have the power to fight them back, either in the courts or publicly. At least Lawrence Fox was there to actually document it, because this stuff must just go on all the time and we don't hear about it because it's not national news, is it? It's not even really local news often.
It's over 3,000 convictions every year. We wrote to the Ministry of Justice before, and that was the number they gave me. And it's just, you'd see it ramp up. So it's probably even higher now in 2022. It's very easy convictions. It's very easy work. They also love doing it because they love enforcing their ideology. And so calling them woke Nazis with a woke Nazi image,
they're only going to prove it. It's all the more frustrating if someone's ever been burgled or had some violent crime happen to them, and then the police are busying themselves with this, and they're like, oh, sorry, we can't solve this theft. We can't solve this assault.
Manpower issues.
Yeah, we've got manpower issues because there are some mean tweets out there that we need to sort the world out, apparently.
And this is the revealing aspect, because you could argue, well, it's the law, so the police have to do it if they don't want... No, they can choose to ignore this. They could do that. They don't. You know, they choose to ignore the burglaries.
Well, the police have the power to prioritise what's more important, don't they?
Exactly.
Like, they can have multiple calls and they can have a limited amount of manpower, and then they can just choose to enforce the laws that actually matter.
But they also make, as he points out, the immediate decision not to arrest Lawrence Fox, even though they know Lawrence has posted this. They know he's right there, live streaming them, but they arrest the little guy instead. So revealing. However, it has led to, of course, some fun, even if we have to live in this hellhole and campaign against it. We're going to have fun while doing it. As you can see here, I love this, just this headline. Police criticised over arrest for gay swastika post. That's a great headline.
That's quite the headline.
Yeah. Gay swastikas? Not on my watch. So right here. The 51-year-old former soldier had shared an image of gay and transgender pride flags in the shape of a swastika. Because it, you know, represented reality. Guidance issued by the police, National Standards Body, last week, emphasised that people involved in political and social debate must not be stigmatised because someone was offended. Fat law good that did. So there you have it. Okay, here's some advice. Please don't carry out this law. Well, it's the law, so the police went and carried it out. So this advice means nothing. It comes down to the law. Section 127 has to be scrapped. This is just how it happens. Donna Jones, the elected police chief for the area, criticised the officers yesterday after they arrested the former member of the Royal Green Jackets and Harry Miller. The veteran, who has requested anonymity, contacted Miller and Fox and told them that officers had advised him to, quote, check with his neighbours before he posts anything.
His neighbours? Who's he living next to? Members of Parliament.
But also, you know, again, the almost iron curtain mentality of how you should live your life.
You're going to open up the curtain, look at the neighbours. Oh, can I post this tweet? I don't know. Oh,
but do you remember the guy in charge of Czechoslovakia, his greengrocer's story, in which there was a greengrocer who put a sign out that said, workers of the world unite, not a communist. Mm-hmm. So the guy was like, I'm not a communist either. Why do you do this? And he was like, well, you know, we live in the system. I have to put up a sign of allegiance. And that's that, whether or not you actually believe it. And this guy, they want him to check with his neighbours to collect, you know, to make sure whether or not his speech is blasphemy.
I'm pretty sure
ideology.
If you ask your neighbours, just normal people, do you care about if I put out this tweet? They'd be like, what? What's wrong with you? Why are you asking me, you weirdo?
So they did that, which, you know, is Orwellian on the face of it. It's what happened to Harry, and was declared illegal in Harry's case. So, well, there you are. It's illegal again. But they went further. They then said that he would have to pay a £60 fine so he could go on a course to educate himself about the offence he had caused. That was the veteran.
To whom? And what offence?
Also, who cares?
I mean, didn't they call the conservatives fascists and Nazis at some point?
Yeah. It's only offense one way, against the new state ideology, which there you have it. I mean, this is just how we live our lives. I mean, again, I mentioned 3,000 people a year, minimum, get convicted of this.
It's so depressing.
For comparison, I mean, what is it? In Konstantin Kissin's book, he mentioned in Russia, it's 600 a year. And then you think of the different population sizes.
Yeah, it's a much larger country. And supposedly much stricter rules.
We enforce them more, however. Miller, 47, and Fox, 44, run a pressure group called the Bad Law Project. They arrange to confront officers in front of a camera crew. The activists delivered documents to the officers, including a proposal that they would pay £100 to attend the re-education course. Because, you know, they don't really rip it to shreds.
That's like inconvenience money as well. It's not like it's like a large fine. It's just like, well, that's kind of a nuisance.
Yeah, it's just to make you learn your lesson.
I'm not going out to dinner one less day this year. Yeah. This year, this month.
Wow, I mean, it's a day's wages, really, just to take it from you. Jones, the police and crime commissioner, said she had raised the matter with the force. Quote, "I am concerned about both the proportionality and necessity of the police's response to this incident," she said. "When incidents on social media receive two visits from the police officers, but burglaries and domestic abuse, break-ins don't get anything, something is wrong," which...
Absolutely.
She's certainly right. And to keep in mind, however, she's a Tory. She's not a police officer. She's an elected representative. Police and crime commissioners are elected in this country. So, great. But that doesn't really mean anything. I mean, I don't get what her point is fundamentally when you get down to it. I know it's not her who passes the laws of the MPs, but there's the point where she's like, well, it's just silly that this gets two police responses. As if we deal with all the other crime, then we would be okay to deal with thought crime. No. It's the law that has to be changed.
But the Conservatives have been talking about this stuff, and they always point out how terrible it is, and then do absolutely nothing to change it. And it's really frustrating, because they have the majority in Parliament to be able to just say, well, we can scrap this entirely. We don't need to do this.
But this is the thing. You hear from MPs, I'm doing a war on work. Pass the law. That's all it takes. Just one law. Just one section. If we go to the next link here, you can see.
It's all hot air.
Here you are. Here's the link. In case you, I don't know, too busy claiming expenses. There you have it. It's one section of one act, which is destroying this country's ability to have any conversation.
You could do that in a morning
Parliament.
Easy.
Yeah. However, this isn't the most frightening aspect to all of this. And actually, the most frightening aspect comes from our good friend Nick Dixon on GB News, which, if we go to the next link here, they're talking about it on Headliners. And he mentions that it's actually way worse than we think, because they were questioned about this. Well, the Daily Mail, they published the Progress swastika, the swastika of peace, and, well, why aren't you arresting them as well? Because they've also broken the law. They put it on the internet. Same law would apply. And apparently they responded by saying they just didn't have enough manpower to arrest the entire Daily Mail.
So if you go out in force, apparently the police won't arrest you.
No, as long as you won't enough have of charges, you
You won't have charges filed against you if you just do mass criminality, according to the police. Their words. Yeah. Well, the obvious thing is that they're just getting out of a bad PR thing, because if you press them on an individual case and why they attended it, they'll be like, well, someone was offended by it. We've got to do this.
Again, it's the big boys. Daily Mail could sue us. They'd actually might get the law overturned if they started feeling the wrath of it, which they should, frankly. And maybe one of the only solutions to this is to report the Daily Mail en masse to the police until they get a visit. I'm not even kidding. Seriously, I don't know how else we're going to break this if the...
It would be quite funny to do that just in general.
Look, MPs, everyone has to feel the full force of the law as written. And, well, if they do something that's against that law, they deserve to keep getting hit by it until they overturn the law. But anyway, we shall go to Nick.
We're in a country where rape has been ignored and covered up for decades, while a social media post will get you investigated. I mean, is that absurd?
At one point, I think five police officers were involved.
Absolutely mad. And I just let me add one more thing. Alex McCarron filmed it, and he said at one point, he asked an officer, why didn't you then arrest the editorial staff of the Daily Mail who published this? Yeah. And they said, we don't have the manpower. So they would arrest everyone if they could. It's purely a manpower question. It's not a question of whether that's a good idea. It's purely we can't physically arrest you all.
On a previous occasion, with parallels to what happened in this viral video, one police officer said to somebody that was accused of a so-called hate crime, is that we need to check your thinking.
Yes.
I mean, this is dark stuff. Mm. This is dystopian, isn't it, Lewis?
And the fact is that they said to the Jew, did they not, you've got to pay 60 pounds to be re-educated, which is really scary.
Yeah.
Or they say, we're going to arrest you.
Yeah. They offered him to basically buy his way out of it. Yeah. Well, if you pay this and go to this course, he's like, no, I won't. So yeah, you can now buy your way out of it. Absolutely disgusting. We don't have a police force. We have some sort of weird enforcement arm of the woke ideology, or whatever you want to call it.
100% true. Absolutely. I also love, you know, Schaefer there, just being an American, just looking down like, the hell? His half doesn't even believe this is happening. He's still at that level.
I think it's, was it the Met police that arrested them as well?
So I believe it was the Hertfordshire police. Or
Hertfordshire, yeah.
Anyway, but we shall go forward, because
Hampshire, okay.
But so you can see in the next link here, this story blew up some more because, of course, in the same period, you have Posey Parker being visited for being untoward about paedophiles, which the police in Wiltshire did eventually put out a statement saying, maybe we shouldn't visit people for being untoward about paedophiles.
The thing is, this happened in Wiltshire. We're probably indirectly paying council tax to these police officers.
You know, see, I mean, it went up recently for the Police and Crime Commission. I think it was 6% our council tax for that. So wonderful.
I didn't vote in that because it was a pointless endeavour.
Good work. But we should go to the next one here just because even the police are starting to notice that they're stupid, or at least look stupid. And this isn't brilliant, but it's funny, to say the least. You can see that hate crime policing makes us look clueless. No, you're very clued up about what you're doing. As said, you only go after certain kinds of people. You don't go after anyone else if they're being slightly offensive to the right. It's not a thing that you ever would, you know, be bothered by. The police approach to recording non-crime hate incidences has at times, to quote, caused people to question whether or not we know what we're doing.
That's putting it a little bit lightly, isn't it?
No, you know what you're doing. Let's not play a stupid game. Stephen Watson, who heads Greater Manchester Police, said officers needed to be given the confidence to tell the public that some things were, quote, just not a police matter. What are you talking about? Blasphemy is always a police matter.
Shouldn't be.
It's always a police matter for an oppressive regime to shut down anyone who criticizes the ideology. And that's where we live. That is just where we live. Okay? We've been that way since, you know, the Communication Act was passed and then enforced in this way, which is, you know, 3,000 a year people minimum getting convicted of blasphemy, frankly. That's how we live. He says in here, but the non-crime hate incidents being a whole other thing, 120,000 people in the past 5 years have had their actions recorded by the police, even though their behaviour did not meet a criminal threshold.
Massive waste of time then. 120,000 people who should not have been investigated.
But also, why would any of this be legitimate? Why would you have a database of 120,000 people doing nothing wrong if you're the police? No, it's because you're the Stasi.
Well, it's unnecessary overreach, isn't it? If they're collecting large dossiers of information on loads of people, well, then they can action that if they do anything significant.
I mean, I remember we spoke about it. If you do a deep vetting process on someone for certain kinds of jobs, and you can see if they have non-crime hate incidents.
Of course, yeah.
Which means they don't get the job. So anyone who blasphemes against wokery just can't get into professional situations anymore within the United Kingdom. You can't get those jobs. They're off limits to you. There you have it. However, he cited a case trying to defend all this crap. Fiona Pilkington, no relation, presumably, who killed herself and her disabled daughter in 2007 after more than a decade of abuse and bullying. Incidents were reported to the police, but treated in isolation, whereas recording could have ultimately built a picture of antisocial behaviour and harassment.
Well, that's harassment first and foremost, isn't it? It's not. Harassment is one thing, but then...
Sure.
Isolated incidents, like that guy posted one thing, didn't he?
But he's defending this on the basis like, we keep all these incidents so we can build a picture. This is obviously not helpful. Sorry, you're going to build a picture of it. You've got 120,000 people and you're going to build a picture on one person who might be being bullied. Needle in a haystack.
That's too much information to have a high resolution image of what's actually going on.
Yeah, plus I mean there's the fact that you arrest over 3,000 people every year for social media posts. I mean, when you break it down, I mean that's 24,000 non-crime hate incidences every year that you're looking into. So, I don't think all of a sudden, if you have all this stuff, you're going to be able to help anyone like her. I don't think you would have helped anyone like her. I don't think you even help with any of this. Nothing helps. All this does is hurt people. But there's also the aspect of the fact, you know, he says in here, last week, officers were criticized for arresting an army veteran who shared an image of a gay swastika. I mean...
I like how they repeatedly call it a gay swastika as well, as if that's just self-explanatory.
But if, you know, we must have all these non-crime hate incidents because we could help Fiona. And it's like, no, you don't do anything to help anyone. I mean, there you have it. But also, as for a minute, as if you had this stuff, you'd be able to help anyone or could help anyone with any of this. Like, no. I mean, you don't investigate any burglaries. So the idea that you would investigate the harassment and abuse that led to her killing herself and her daughter. No, you wouldn't. That's ridiculous. So there you have it. I mean, there's just the reality of where we live. It's literal hell. In regards to speech laws, everyone thinks it's fine in upper echelons of society because they don't get persecuted with the law like everyone else does. And, I think it's about time the law applied to them.
Absolutely. So, oh, well, that was depressing.
More for enforcing the law, mate.
Well, I'll tell you what's not depressing, though, is this good news.
Good news, everyone.
I know. Good news, everyone. Dr. Farnsworth here. So... The Tavistock Gender Clinic has been forced to shut over safety fears. So this is an article from The Times, a perfectly establishment outlet, you would say. And they've been going pretty hard against the Tavistock Clinic, which has been forced to close for, I guess I can call it malpractice, although they haven't explicitly done that because they might get sued, but I'm happy to go out on a limb and say that. Obvious malpractice. This is appalling stuff that they've done. And if you're not up to speed, I'll fill you in on all the details of this, what this clinic does. Basically, it is the grooming clinic, isn't it? If you were to put it in a sentence.
Yeah, in modern parlance, it's the groomer clinic.
So, the article says, the NHS is shutting down its gender identity clinic, this is the only one, by the way, for children after a review found that it failed vulnerable under 18s. I mean, that's putting it lightly, isn't it? I could have told you that many years ago, but at least it's getting done, I suppose.
Maybe the
gender identity service at Tavistock and Portman NHS Foundation Trust has been ordered to close by next spring. It will be replaced by regional centres at existing children's hospitals offering more holistic care with strong links to mental health services. And that's a little bit of jargon there, and it might not be so easy to understand what they mean by holistic care and strong links to mental health services. Thankfully, I'm a psychologist, I'm used to reading this nonsense, and therefore I can translate it. So I think this will mainly be addressing the view that under 18s that go to the Tavistock Clinic are likely to have other mental health conditions that are going untreated. And from what I've gathered from actually covering the Tavistock Clinic before, is that they talk to the patient, the child, normally, although they do treat adults as well, and they basically wait for them to mention something about gender dysphoria. And then that's like the green light, like, go, get them on puberty blockers.
Stop.
It's pretty much like that. And I know that me and you covered on the podcast previously that someone only spoke to a counsellor for 3 hours before getting prescribed puberty blockers, which is appalling. You would, at the very least, you want multiple sessions, many, many hours before any treatment resolution, no matter what the treatment is, no matter what the condition is. You don't just prescribe something after 3 hours of talking to them. That's really...
God, people might not like what I'm about to say, but I remember, because I watched What Is a Woman mm-hmm. the other day, and there's a section with Jordan Peterson, and he explains why might some of this, most of them I probably think are groomers and just going along with it. But he mentions the fact that in Canada, for example, as a psychologist, apparently it's now basically illegal to misgender someone. Mm-hmm. So if someone comes in, you can't talk to them and find out if it's a mental health problem and solve it that way.
Because you'd be breaking the law, yeah.
So instead they just go, yeah, you have whatever you want.
Well,
and I do wonder if there's some of that there.
Even so, lots of people have come out, which I will get onto in a second.
Either way, it demonstrates the damage this ideology does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it seems to me that, particularly in the Tavistock Clinic, it's more of an avenue for activism rather than actual medicine being practiced here. Certainly not in keeping with lots of the clinical psychological literature on the matter, because that's really inconclusive. And the fact that this is probably the policy of giving people hormones and puberty blockers, that's so damaging to someone that that's probably one of the most destructive treatments for any mental health condition there is. I mean, we have things like electroconvulsive therapy where you're putting high amounts of voltage through people's heads, but even that is a last resort in extreme circumstances for people with like extreme schizophrenia that cannot function in society. And I think that for many of the people that come in, that sort of level of treatment is so unnecessary. It's known as a palliative measure. It's treating the symptoms of the condition rather than the actual cause, in that they're making them feel better, in that their dysphoria goes away, perhaps even temporarily. But then, of course, now they've basically mutilated themselves. Their body will never be the same again just for something that's psychological, which in theory could go away.
Yeah.
It's all up here.
None of that is correct medicine.
No. You should encourage people to make things that are good for their long-term development. And for one, having a family is pretty good for your mental well-being. And preventing them from doing that by chemically castrating them effectively through the drugs that they give them to transition is going to prevent them from having that stabilizing force in their life. So the article carries on to say, the Tavistock's Gender Identity Development Services Clinic has been accused of rushing children into life-altering treatment on puberty blockers, which is kind of supporting the impression I already had. The paediatrician, Dr. Hilary Cass, who is leading the review of the service, issued a series of recommendations today for a radical overhaul of how the NHS treats young people who are questioning their gender identity. And this is very welcome. It seems like it's going in the right direction. She found that the Tavistock Clinic was not a safe or viable long-term option, and that other mental health issues were overshadowed when gender was raised by children referred to the clinic, which is exactly what we've been saying repeatedly for a long time. Cass, former president of the Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health, said the existing model of a sole provider for gender services should be scrapped as it failed to meet the holistic needs of distressed and vulnerable teenagers. I think what she's trying to say is that through having a specific focus, you're going to gather lots of ideologues that are going to go there specifically to reinforce this ideology. Whereas if you get a general, more general practitioner, they're less likely to have bought into this nonsense, more likely to treat it like gender dysphoria, more like a condition, which is what they need.
Very long-winded way of saying they're a bunch of groomers, can't trust them.
Yes. And something that's very positive is I've included a screenshot here of a poll on the Telegraph article. Is the NHS right to shut the Tavistock Gender Clinic? 96% of users agree with me, which obviously I voted yes, because come on.
Are you for grooming or not? Apparently 4% of the public are like, I don't know.
But this is the Times. They're not really, they're not massively right-wing, are they? So if this is the public mood, then we're out for blood, basically.
Yeah, well, this organisation funded by the taxpayer has been practically mutilating children mm-hmm. for years. And everyone was just like, oh, it's fine because of ideology. Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to look into why exactly this has happened in the first place. How have we got this small victory? I mean, we've still got some distance to go, but it's a change in the right direction. So first and foremost is that there was a massive surge in cases, which kind of brings things up in a clinician's mind that, okay, there's something external going on here. So there's another article from the Times here, and it reads, "For me, it began with a graph. In 2017, I was shown a chart of children referred to the Gender Identity Disorder Services, the Tavistock and Portman Trust Gender Identity Development Service Clinic, what a mouthful, in Northwest London. Overall case numbers had risen from just 72 in 2009 to 2010 to 1,807 in 2016 to 17. But there was something more puzzling. The female referrals, once a fraction of the males, now made up 70% from 32 to 1,265. The number of teenage girls with gender dysphoria had risen by 5,000% in 7 years. So this is obviously indicative of some sort of change, this, right?
Imagine if this is a schizophrenia graph, right? I mean, mm-hmm. the results would be, holy God, what is happening to society to make everyone so mm-hmm. mentally ill? And you'd be thinking,
over 7 years as well. That's a tiny amount of time in terms of this.
Something's really messing up the youth of the day. And instead we get the lecture of, I know this is people expressing themselves.
Mm-hmm. So okay, yes,
perfectly natural.
One of the reasons that women or young girls are particularly susceptible to trans ideology is a predisposition towards autism in particular. So if we move on to the next article here, autistic girls seeking answers are seizing on sex change. So this is from January of 2021. So this has been an ongoing dialogue in Britain, Turf Island as it's known. So we've actually been quite successful at pushing back, but I'll get onto that in a second. So it reads, a global expert on autism has warned in newly released legal papers that girls who are autistic or anorexic appear more likely to say they want to become boys. The evidence by Professor Christopher Gilberg was given in High Court case that led to a landmark ruling last month saying children under 16 were unlikely to be able to give informed consent to undergo treatment with experimental puberty blocking drugs. So here we are, expert testimony saying that yes, these people are vulnerable and they're being groomed into transitioning. I don't know why I did the quotation marks, but
I'm laughing a little bit. I just saw in the chat someone say, oh, women most affected by trends and fashion. I am shocked.
So there's also been a series of prominent resignations and whistleblowing in the Tavistock Centre. So here's an article on Quillette. Why I resigned from Tavistock. Trans-identified children need therapy, not just affirmation and drugs. I know. Who'd have thought it? So it reads, over the past 5 years,
there are voices in your head.
Yeah. There has been a 400% rise in referrals to the Tavistock Centre in North London. And yeah, it carries on to talk about how there's a climate where it's difficult to push back on these sorts of things. And I'm going to read here from another extract. Those who advocate an unquestioning affirmation-based approach to trans-identified children often will claim that any delay or hesitation in assisting a child's desired gender transition may cause irreparable psychological harm and even possibly lead to suicide. They also typically will cite research purporting to prove that a child who transitions can expect a higher level of psychological health and satisfaction. None of these claims align substantially with any robust data or studies in this area, nor do they align with the cases I have encountered over decades as a psychotherapist. And this is someone who worked at the Tavistock Clinic, basically saying that it's all rubbish. And they've got many years of experience and they know the data. And they're saying that neither of those align, which is, again, what we've been saying for ages. But wait, that's not all. In June last year, there was a whistleblower who said that patients were in danger at a controversial gender clinic, the Tavistock Clinic, and sues the trust and claims that doctors were told to hide concerns for the safety of young people who are being rushed into taking puberty blockers. And this is even worse because this is someone who worked as the chief of safeguarding, who's meant to be looking out for, you know, the well-being of the children coming into the clinic. However, it seems to me that the clinic had an atmosphere or a climate of avoiding her entirely and just saying...
Well, you know, it's bad when the chief of safeguarding is suing you because of your lack of safeguarding.
Well, yeah. They supposedly just sidelined her and had her in a position just as in a symbolic way rather than actually allowing her to do her job.
Safeguarding would be transphobia. Mm-hmm.
And just to clarify, she did successfully win her case and won £20,000 from the clinic. So, seems like she was vindicated that they were unjustly doing so. So there are a number of cases of former patients suing the clinic as well. So this article from the Daily Mail. My first thought as I came around was, oh God, what have I done? Man suing the NHS over trans surgery, he bitterly regrets, has waived his anonymity to share his ordeal. And I'm just going to read a little bit from this. For Richie Heron, a bright and articulate civil servant, I don't think that's possible, from Newcastle, life over the past 4 years has become unbearable. It takes him 10 minutes to empty his bladder, a process as painful as it is slow. Any sex drive is long gone. In fact, he says his crotch is numb, shell-shocked from the damage done to him under the apparent care of the NHS. Battling mental health issues and after decades of suppressing his homosexuality, Richie, 35, had thought the answer was to become a woman, but instead he says he was fast-tracked into making the biggest mistake of his life and left infertile, incontinent, and with ongoing pain. So, yes, this is a clear case of someone that's been failed because, I mean, you could have addressed, say, the underlying health issues, the suppressed homosexuality, and this could have been avoided. With proper psychological care, this person could have avoided mutilating themselves.
I just can't get over how it's another one of those instances where you look at it now and you think, oh, we are in the future. Because I remember, I mean, what was it, like 4 years ago or something, even two years ago, when Carl was saying, man, a few years, we're going to get all these stories in which we have loads of people saying about how they've been led down this path and they're going to end up suing. And I say, well, yeah, we're in the future now. We're at the point in which that's all true. And he goes to the next bit.
Talking of Carl, here is a book club on Gail Schreier's Irreversible Damage, which talks about all of the damage that these treatments can do to people, which he did with Harry, which is definitely worth checking out if you want a full picture of the damage that it does to the human body, and very much worth looking up if you actually want to have an informed discussion about this thing, because just hitting people with the damage they can do to themselves is the most emotionally impactful way that you can get across to them. Just like, do you want to be infertile and incontinent for the rest of your life? If the answer is no, well, maybe reconsider your decision. I know, it's a no-brainer for us, isn't it? Yeah. So yes, moving on, this is another case which I'm not going to go into too much because I think it was one of the first segments I did on this podcast, is the case of, I think it's Kiara Bell. She recently did a story after this cancelling of the Tavistock Clinic came out. And she says, what they did was despicable. I should have never been changed gender at 16. And she's talking about how she regretted after 6 years of living as a male. She regretted it, wanted to change back. And she sued them in 2020 and won, which is another suing. I mean, they must be hemorrhaging cash, if nothing else. So, yes.
Well, it's also our money.
Also worth mentioning that they went through the transition and they want them to stop prescribing drugs to children entirely, which is the sensible choice, obviously, isn't it?
That's got a bit far, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
How about we don't give, you know, literal castration drugs to kids?
I know, this would have been a no-brainer about 10 years ago, wouldn't it? So it's also worth mentioning that data on things like comorbid which I'll explain what that word means in a second, conditions with gender dysphoria have been emerging. There's been a lot more research because previously the defence that the ideologues have had is, well, there's not much research. We've got to help someone somehow, which is a terrible
So let's
argument.
Just experiment on kids. What could go wrong? Like,
well, obviously that's nonsense, but there are research papers out there that point out, so this one is titled Comorbidities Among Patients with Gender Dysphoria. Comorbidity just means a condition co-occurring with another condition. And the way you do this is you look at the prevalence in a population of someone with gender dysphoria, and then you look at all of the other conditions that co-occur and the rates in which they co-occur. And I've seen research papers before that have suggested that gender dysphoria co-occurs with other dysphoric conditions, suggesting that, you know, it is a dysphoria to be treated like a mental illness. And you have the other dysphorias like the, you know, we've talked about before, the woman who identified as being blind, and then her and her psychologist who should be struck off blinded her with drain cleaner because she identified as being blind. Obviously,
affirmative care. What's wrong with that?
Obviously, this is horrific, terrible. The psychologist should never practice again because that's obviously a mental illness. No one's going to say, oh, well, she was just born. She was born into a body with no eyes. I mean, it's madness. There's no way that you would accept that. But when it comes to gender, all of a sudden, people are more willing because of the
ideology.
Yes, exactly. So the study found that of the people with gender dysphoria, 33.7% had major depressive disorder, 20.5% had a specific phobia, 15.7% had adjustment disorder, and I think out of the entire population, 62.7% of patients had at least one psychiatric comorbidity. So that's over half of people had some underlying mental health condition that they had diagnosed, which is massive. I mean, that's a massive red flag to me. Other studies as well have found that in their lifetime, people with gender dysphoria are about 72% out of 100 of the time more likely to experience... No, that's not right, is it? So I think it's 72% of people with gender dysphoria will experience a mental health condition in their lifetime. That's what I was trying to say. Sorry, I'm a bit tongue-tied with all the research here. So there's another study here as well, which is a 2020 review of mental health comorbidities, which is, because it's a review of lots of different studies, it's a bit more reliable. So it includes 37 studies published within the last 5 years. And it reads as follows. Among all of the psychiatric disorders considered, the most frequent are depression, suicidal ideation and anxiety, other pathologies that, although to a lesser extent, also show a higher prevalence than the cis population, annoying trans ideologue language, but still, are substance abuse, eating disorders, suicide attempts, autism spectrum disorders, or dissociative disorders. And yes, so it seems to me here that...
The science is in.
Yes. Unfortunately, this research paper in particular then goes on to talk about depathologizing transgenderism. So even though they've got all that data, the interpretation is still wrong. But I thought it'd be good to pick out a paper which is ideologically opposed to me, but still shows the same data with the same thing that I'm saying to validate my point further. So there's also growing research on the damage that puberty blockers do. So recently, FDA officials warn of brain swelling, vision loss in minors using puberty blockers. So puberty blocker known as gonadotropin, which is an unusual name for it, releases the hormone GnRH substances, receiving a warning from the US Food and Drug Administration officials earlier this month, saying the drug could cause brain swelling, loss of vision, as it says in the title. Officials said a plausible association between using puberty blockers and pseudotumor cerebri, which displays symptoms similar to a brain tumor, was identified in 6 young girls between the ages of 5 to 12. You should not be taking that thing in the first place, in my opinion. 5 were undergoing treatment for central precocious puberty and 1 for transgender care. So, yes.
I mean, that's just... Because I remember when we did radiology at university... And we were looking at breast cancers. Like, is it worth actually doing the treatment on someone to deal with their breast cancer if they're at a certain age? And if they were very young, it's, you know, you get worried about giving them radiation because of obviously the long life effects. And there were huge ethical debates about what was right and when was the correct thing to do. And when it comes to this, just like, yeah, screw it. Give a 5-year-old drugs. Gave them some kind of brain tumor. Well, you know.
I mean, any reasonable person would look at this and say, even if, you know, the transitioning is a cure for the gender dysphoria, is it really worth it? I mean, I would argue no, because all of these horrible side effects are just not worth, you know, feeling uncomfortable. I know, radical, isn't it?
5-year-old puberty blockers.
So yes.
And so how are we?
No, it's atrocious. So another reason...
Trust me, the right wing of the... Sorry.
Another reason that I think that this has happened in Britain, and we're one of the first countries in the Anglosphere to push back on this, is that we have a flourishing population of TERFs on the island. They've roosted on the island. They're here to stay. Stable population. As covered in a previous episode of the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, where I said TERF Island is number one in transphobia, and this is how trans ideologues view Britain as this sort of bastion of transphobia in the world. And I think that probably has something to do with it, that we're not receptive to this nonsense, or less so than most other nations, which is nice. I mean, it'd be nice to be more reasonable. Did you say my mum's a TERF?
Yeah, you don't know the song? It became a slogan of the TERFs. Just your mum's a TERF is what they shout at the trans like lunatics who turn up protesting them. So I don't care what you believe, but your mum gave birth to you.
I've not heard of that. It's quite funny. Yeah. So it's also worth mentioning as well, that which you mentioned in the previous segment, actually, that Stonewall was forced to clarify a tweet which said 2-year-olds could be transgender. And they were basically forced to publish a clarification that was very wishy-washy to try and get out of it. Because of the public backlash in Britain against this stuff.
They said they didn't support, you know, physically transitioning kids mm-hmm. at that age. But mentally... Oh, there you have mm-hmm. it. It's just, okay, fine.
And to end, I thought, we've not seen enough mental illness, so how about a bit of cognitive dissonance here? So Pink News seems to act as if this is some kind of...
Sorry. Sorry, Pink News.
So they seem to think that it's some sort of victory for them, so... They've tried to present it in this article titled "The NHS Tavistock Youth Gender Clinic to be replaced under sweeping trans healthcare reforms." They've tried to make it out as if, well, we had one place, now we're going to have many places that are going to open up regionally instead, which will give us better access to healthcare.
I don't think they
read between the lines of the fact that yes, you're damaging children, you idiots,
and the whole clinic's being shut down because of that.
Well, yeah, they don't mention that once in their article, which is very convenient, isn't it? It's almost like they've completely ignored it. And they're talking about, oh, this is great, we're going to have more clinics, more trans people, more cannon fodder for the ideology. But yes, that's the state of Britain at the minute. I mean, we've got the wokists in denial. We've got some small victories pushing in the right direction for actually protecting children for once. I know...
I mean, if you give a 5-year-old a brain tumour from your... I mean, you'd blow your head off.
Oh, yes, of course.
But...
It's like the In Bruges thing. If you,
sorry.
If you kill a child, you've got to kill yourself, right?
What?
You've not seen the film?
No.
No, never mind. But yes, obviously this is a good thing, moving in the right direction. Hopefully we're going to push back against transitioning in its entirety. It should not be a practice that is practiced in the NHS, in my opinion, from my analysis of the evidence. And it seems like more and more people are coming around to that point of view, which is good. And hopefully things will improve, but they've still got a long way to go.
As on that note, we shall move to something a little more fun.
Okay.
So, let's try and have some fun.
Good.
End of the day, Monday, tough day. So I start with Mum's Comics, feminist gibberish. Do you know who Mum's Comics is?
No.
I certainly didn't either. Until this weekend, her comics blew up because they're very, very insightful. Into her mind and nothing else. And I thought we'd enjoy them. So we'll start off just with obviously a little show here being the fact that analysing what is a woman going to be very relevant to this, and you should go and give that a watch.
Yeah. What is a mum? I have no means of reference for understanding this. It could be a man, it could be a woman. Who knows?
A genuine question we should ask to Mum's Comics, because if we go to their Instagram account, of course, this you can see Mum's Life Comics here and pronouns.
I really hate the art style. It's...
Yeah, but just on the basis here, I mean, firstly, pronouns in the description, which, that's a big red flag right there, as it always is.
Why do you need pronouns if you've listed that you're a mum?
Who knows? Who knows? But I'm kind of a little, I don't know how much we can do into the, like, father-mother aspect of it, because I don't have kids. I mean, it'll be, I'm sure Carl will give his own opinion at some point. But I think we're going to go through this, because it's cartoons about her being a mum, right? And you think, mm-hmm. okay, you know. Oh my God, there used to be no laundry. Now I've got kids. Lots of laundry. Ha ha.
Oh no.
That's one of the comics.
Is that really, yeah. Is that the kind of boomer humor you're going to subject me to?
No.
It's going to be like in Clockwork Orange. You're going to have to tie me to the chair.
That would be okay. You know, whatever. Some weird boomer mom is making these cartoons. Okay, well, you know. The thing is, she's obviously like a leftist lunatic, for one, and I shall demonstrate this with her own cartoons, as we shall see. So you see this one here, she had to put out. Liberty and justice for all, Black Lives Matter, you know, racial pride flag, pro-woman, pro-choice, my body, my choice. Okay, sure, she's a leftist, you might think, but she writes in here. I know I'm not alone in feeling that the 4th has become a complicated holiday. That hasn't. America number one. That's all it is for most Americans. So here's a post I made last year that I've updated a bit to reflect how I'm feeling this year. I've always felt really lucky to live in the United States, but I'm now feeling super scared about the direction of this country has been going in. One in which the land of the free is getting less and less free for anyone who isn't a white, Christian, straight, cis male.
It's pretty much the other way around, isn't it?
Planet you live on. I mean, do you literally just never go out of your house? You look after the kids and go teach yoga?
Sure, Derek Chauvin's more free, isn't he? Yeah.
No, but even just on the basic stuff. I mean, like, you know, people losing jobs for being white. I mean, you just can't apply for them. Christians, their freedom are all-time high. They love living in Europe. It's fantastic. That's number one, at least. Which is why they're fleeing into America. But it's just mad. She doesn't hear. So until we have true liberty, justice for all, we continue to fight, sending love and solidarity to everyone who is feeling this way today, too. Okay, so you're a leftist lunatic. That's, yeah, normal. That's, you know, there's a lot of people online like that. There's a lot more of it, though, because if you go to the next one here, she's got a BLM post. Because of reasons.
Isn't that cultural appropriation?
You'd think so.
Bit of meditating there.
But as we get into the feminist gibberish, I mean, this is where it gets into what her comics are really about. So the next one here is just the feminist posting, of course. Well, she says in here, women will have equality when men share the responsibility of bringing up the next generation. I was like,
don't they already do that?
Yeah.
And they always have.
And your husband, lady, definitely does. Because we've got posts from you about how your relationship works, and it's why she blew up. And again, this isn't a story about her. Don't contact her. Leave her alone. The story is the fact that she blew up in the internet sphere, and the story as to why she blew up, which is people didn't take kindly to how she portrayed her husband, to say the least. But just before we get there, of course, she's also against racism.
Stunning and brave.
In this day and age. Woof! Against racism. Oof, God. Oh, man.
I like that it's written in crayon text as well. Extra condescending.
Yeah, it's just painful. Hashtag BLM. I love equality. No. Look at the next one here. We can see also she's very normie. She stands with Ukraine. Now, don't care about the Ukraine conflict discussion. That's not why I'm making this post for showing it. I'm showing this because, right, what is it? 8 out of 10 Americans can't point to Ukraine on the map? Do you think she's in the 2 out of 10 or the 8 out of 10? Just having a guess.
Well, I'm guessing from how you're framing it, she's in the 8 out of 10.
I think she's probably in the 8 out of 10. Just maybe a bigoted opinion of me that maybe this sheltered woman does not know where Ukraine is, but I think that might be true. Because she's living in absolute luxury, and this is by her own statements. If we go to the next one here, this is some post apparently she made. She writes in here about her life, in which she says that Ben is an amazing father and husband. He carries quite a lot of mental load himself and does a lot around the house. He cooks all of our dinners. He does almost all of our grocery shopping. He pays for all of our bills and maintains our yard. He does his own laundry as well.
So basically she's a parasite is what I'm hearing.
You know, that's their relationship. She's like, you can do whatever they want, right?
He does
you know?
Everything.
But I don't know what she does.
Where's the division of labour there? She does the whinging by the sounds of it.
She does the breakfast and the lunch, I'm going to presume, and looks at the kids whilst he's at work and makes sure they don't touch some glass. I don't know what else. Makes comics, presumably.
She probably just plugs in the iPad that their children are staring at.
Yeah,
that's the job.
3 nights a week, he comes home from work and immediately handles everything Charlie May duties while I head out to teach yoga. There you are. That's her life.
Sounds pretty cushy to me.
Yeah, just an incredibly sheltered individual. I'm not surprised by any of those normie leftist opinions at this point. It's like, okay, yeah, you literally don't go out. Like, you just stare at the kids. You don't have to work. You don't do any real hardship. And you come to the conclusion that America's some racist patriarchy that's keeping you down. Keeping a sister down, don't you know, Josh?
Yeah, America, where you're allowed to work as a yoga teacher and support yourself. Great.
And she's even more ungrateful, and there's another reason as to why people didn't like her. And I'm coming around to that opinion. Because this is one of her comics here, it's just The Marriage Bed, and I guess we'll go through these. And she says in here, before we had kids, my husband made the bed first thing every morning. It was something he took pride in and greatly appreciated it. Okay, so there we go. That's another thing he did. You don't. He made the bed every day. So that's the first slide there, John. And then she says, at some point during our daughter's first year, he stopped making the bed, and I was in no place to take up where he left off, so the bed went unmade.
She is in no place. You can't make your own bed.
Making a bed? What, I mean, are you mad?
I think I can hear... Can you hear that? I think it's Jordan Peterson. I can hear him.
Oh, God. Like, it's just painful.
Get your room in order before you try and change the world, I think the phrase is, isn't it?
Yeah. She goes on. She says, for almost 5 years now, our bed has been a mess. She doesn't make it. Just as you can see, the stupid pillows that women buy to put on the bed have been in the corner. Just a small rant. I hate these pillows.
I agree. Pillows should be at the side of the bed or under the bed, not on the bed.
But also, like, they must spend, I mean, everyone's house who has these, 60% of the time not in the correct position and therefore making the whole place look dirty. And then the rest of the time they're there and it's just like, that's not worth the effort. It's just not worth it. It looked tidy without them. Looks fine. But anyway, all on the side point. But she says she never actually makes the bed. Why would she? Do anything else? But she says, once every couple of months, I'll walk into our room and find that my husband has made the bed. It always feels like an unexpected treat. Again, lady, make your own bed. If you're missing out, just do it. It's still 5 years down the line, she still doesn't do it. Can't even bother.
I think some amount of blame is meant to be apportioned on the man. I mean, get your woman in line, man.
Honestly, I'm kind of agreeing with you. But she goes on to talk about her wonderful situation in life. She says she pays a cleaning company to come and clean her house once per month. Yeah, it's too hard for her. I mean, she's got a lot of work to do. When they change our sheets and make the bed, crawling into bed that night makes it feel like a mini vacation.
You can change your sheets every night if you want. You have the power to do that.
My mother, she used to, you know, be a childminder. She had three boys. And that's why I'm looking at this and almost just in awe at how lazy this individual is, frankly. To be like, this is like hell on earth to deal with this. And you'll see how much of a resentful individual she becomes in the later comics. But to say that, oh my God, changing a bed. Oof.
It also goes to show how little she has to worry about. Like, if my bed is messy or not, I'm not even going to notice. I've got more important things to worry about.
You know how long it takes to change a bed?
Not long.
No. Too much for her, though, in the last 5 years. And who's surprised that she's such an out of touch child when it comes to politics? And frankly, I mean, seeing all that just makes me come around to the opinion. I don't think she should vote. I don't think she should be allowed to vote. I mean, I don't know how we're going.
Don't tar all people in the same brush.
Oh, no,
maybe
no.
Not her specifically.
No, not because she's a mother or any of that, like, because she's stay home. That's wonderful. No. Well, the reason she shouldn't be allowed to vote is because you cannot be this sheltered and still think that you have any political opinion worthwhile. I mean, like, she's putting on these feminist glasses, being like, oh my God, sexism, racism everywhere. And it's like, you literally live in the dream.
She would vote for the state coming in and making her bed for her.
She would. She wasn't paying someone to do it. A month. But anyway, that's not the reason people hate her. I mean, I don't think she should be able to vote just because of dog crap political opinions and the fact that she clearly doesn't have any hardship in her life to justify having the right to vote. But anyway, that's not the reason everyone else hated her. The reason everyone else hated her is because of the way she portrays her husband in response to all this. And as you read, what a stand-up guy. Pays all the bills, you know, takes care of the kids whenever he needs to. Gets all the groceries, does all the dinners. Makes the bed. You know, the hardship that is. And does she take it well? Does she appreciate what she's got? No, doesn't seem to, at least in the comics. Again, this isn't a judgment on her actual life, who knows? But on her comics and how she portrays it publicly, it doesn't look great. And this is what became the meme. So this is the first one here. This is where we're going to have some fun.
Isn't he the one that buys all of the groceries as well, according to the Post?
Pays for
so if dog. if you want a peach, love, go out and buy it yourself.
So this is the comic. It says, one of the many differences between me and my husband. And she looks at a peach and says, oh, look, the last ripe peach. I'll save it for the kids. They love peaches so much. Where is my disgusting husband? Oh, look, the last ripe peach. I'll use it as a special treat in my daily smoothie.
First of all, who thinks, like, I'll save it for the kids. They love peaches so much.
They don't.
Who thinks like that? That's not how human thought works.
Number two, he paid for it. Like, how dare my husband have the audacity to eat his food? I saw Count Dankula's response to this is also gold. It's like, woman makes up rule in her head, and then the man breaks the rule that she made up in her head and didn't tell him about, and then gets mad. Very woman moment there as well. It's like,
we've all been a victim of it.
Yeah, it's just, of course, that became an absolute meme. There's also that her hat cartoon, which is just really kind of gross. Like, I know, again, she's like, oh, no, by the way, I love my husband. This is just a joke. But it's like, there's a level of vitriol in this I'm not comfortable with to laugh at. She's like, oh, my husband walks into the room wearing my winter hat. Oh, cool. It's like, you know, 2 years into the relationship, if you go to the next image, she's like, oh, how cute. He wears my hat. Oh, funny. And then 17 years into the relationship, why are you wearing my hat again? Please stop. It's my hat. I've asked you not to wear it a million times. You never put it back where it goes, and your sweat gets in it and makes it smell. Like,
that seems like a well-adjusted response. I mean,
you're certainly making yourself look like a lunatic.
I might be an armchair psychologist, but
I mean, literally though, like, yeah. Actually, so I've got a psychology background.
But yeah, that's not healthy.
No,
that's a her problem, not a him problem.
And again,
you
I
shouldn't
know,
react like that.
I know she says, "Well, to be clear, I love my husband." Maybe, but then there are a lot of these cartoons, and this is what made her go viral: is the fact that there's so many.
Poor man.
Because if you go to the next one, there's also the fact that she just gets mad at him for no goddamn reason in some of these. So, I mean, we've seen the first one with the peaches, and the comment is just like, I think she just hates her family. It's like, leaving the house with the kids, what I bring. Kids' coats, why? Bags of my stuff, why? Drinks for the kids and more snacks, why? Extra snacks on top of that, clothes, mittens, hats, hand sanitizer, wipes, and masks. Of course, it's masks. To note in here, this is 4 months ago. Like, this isn't the outbreak where everyone didn't know. Like, come on, everyone knows this is what it is. Whereas my husband, what does he bring? His keys.
But the thing is that this is actually getting at something quite interesting, unintentionally. Yeah. It's the two different roles, the sexually dimorphic roles of parents. Like, she's the obviously embodying the mothering role by being overly prepared, trying to make sure they're as comfortable as possible. Yep. Whereas he's embodying the fatherly role of pushing their boundaries. Yeah,
The car, I'll pay for the car, mm-hmm. You know, I'll be able to travel around.
If it's cold, you suffer. That's called parenting.
But also,
that's
like,
the kind
God,
I was used to.
All of that is not really necessary in my mind. It's like, do you need snacks, extra snacks? Mm-hmm. Where are you going? The desert?
Well, this is our male brains talking, isn't it?
Yeah. But she also have the last one here is also just the last image there, John, is just also her just being really kind of bitter about her kids. Again, it may just be jokes, but it's just like, there's so much of it. This is why she blew up and people didn't take it as jokes. See here, what kids ruin, meals out, meals in general, white couches, vacations in quotation marks, a good night's sleep, anything about which you say this will be fun, and their parents' bodies. It's like,
I know exactly what she's trying to market that towards. She's trying to appeal to the other mums, and they'll be like, it'll be like the psychological elbow, like, hey, isn't that right?
Yeah.
She's trying to get like other people to relate to her. It's not really trying to dig at the kids per se. I think there's a little bit of tongue in cheek.
However, the subsequent obsession with her husband is a little less in nice circle. Next one here, she also has some kind of unhealthy obsession with him going to the bathroom. Like, there's a lot of cartoons about the fact that he goes to the toilet and uses it for a little longer than she'd like, and therefore he's done something wrong. She's like, oh my god, you use the bathroom for as much time as you need on your Father's Day. Oh wait, you do that every day.
I've heard many fathers that the bathroom is the sacred palace, yeah, where you can actually be alone.
That's actually a quote of all places, I think it was a House of Cards, where it's like, when I go to poop, it's the one place where I'm not being bothered. And now I've got this phone. So if you go through the images here, just to represent that there is a reason. I mean, this is the reason she blew up, which is there are a lot of those as well. Please, as you can see there, it's just like, oh, my dad, what does he do? Has to poop, wait when it's right to go. It's like, okay.
He's living life in the moment. That's what he's doing.
Keep going, John. I mean, there's more of them. This relationship with my bathroom tie. Wife's level of resentment. Hours per day that husband spends in the bathroom. Okay. Is this really that big of an issue?
I mean, if it's really that bad, you need to take him to a doctor.
Yeah, you would have thought. He's clearly working himself to death. However, if you go to the next one as well, there's also the fact that apparently she lives in Cape Cod, and this is some nice place in the United States. I don't bloody well know.
I've been there before, yeah.
And people were just like, horrible. Exhausted mum's posture when she pees in the morning. And again, you know, it's not, you know, that easy, except when, you know, everything's taken care of four of you by your husband. The kids are like 3-4, so I mean, they're not babies anymore. It's not like it's that, but whatever. And then we go on to the groceries as well, which she did a cartoon. It's like, oh, my horrible husband. He brings only one bag of groceries. Okay.
Well,
there's a lot of resentment.
That's probably because she picked up the bags first, and he just assumed, well, you've taken that many, therefore you're okay with taking that many.
Maybe. And it's the fact of, like, if there was one or two of these, okay, you know, boober humor, my partner, a bit of an asshole. You know, it's always been around, but there's just so much that this really did take off. There's also the last one here where she introduces her feminist message into everything, which you could see here, which she's very ungrateful again in here. She writes, what is it? Women will not be equal until they are free from the weight of unpaid domestic labor. Lady, you literally don't have to pay a single bill. You literally don't even have to cook dinner. You don't have to do any of the grocery shopping. He'll take care of the kids while you go to goddamn yoga.
I tell you what, if I live with a woman who did all of the stuff that man did, I would be living the dream.
And she goes, Put my feet up. It's time to stop making excuses for men who simply aren't pulling their weight. It's like, dude. Like, he's trying his best. He's doing his best. Like, he's a good guy.
She's not satisfied with nagging her husband. She wants to nag the world.
Yeah, and right. that's the other thing.
That's what the world needs.
She's been accused of being a nagging mum, and she doesn't like that. Which,
how can she not?
I don't know how you can moan about that. Yeah.
It's so obvious.
There's the last one here with the feminist message, which is getting funny. She's like, oh, double standard. Dad gets fast food. Fun dad. I get fast food. Lazy mum. Number one, you don't cook any of the dinners. You said that yourself earlier. So, you are a lazy man. You literally don't make dinner. I mean, as you said, he's the one that does that. So, going to knock you on the head for that one. But then also, no kid is going to be like, oh, fast food? Mother, this isn't on.
I don't know. I might have been like, not caviar. Dear God.
Fast food? Caviar? What? No. What the hell did
joking.
You grow up?
I'm joking.
McDonald's caviar.
No, I did go for McDonald's when I was a kid.
Yeah. I was just going to say. But then again, it's just obvious nonsense as well. It's like, oh my God, fast food. Oh no. Mom, I can't eat Chinese again. Loving the Chinese. It was the best time of my life growing up. But then there's also the response from one guy, which is he just started putting on images like that, the Chad and Wojak crying faces on all of the cartoons. It works. He doesn't do any other edits, and of course this blew up as well. If you go back, John, and just scroll up on that one, you can see there's a whole bunch of others. So go back to the thread, I mean, and scroll back up to the thread, and then you can see if you scroll up the Chad and Wojak faces of people showing off that it works for every other cartoon. Just there you have all the different ones, and it works for every single one of them. It's like, Chad, yeah, I like the peach. It's also as well, you know, he's eating smoothies. He's trying to keep in shape. I've seen the pictures.
Considerate, yeah.
So, you know, she trying very hard to just be resentful by the sounds of it. And then the peach meme really blew up, which is very funny. And I think we'll enjoy those. So if we go to the next few segments here, so you're doing okay, son. That ain't my peach. F's in the chat, lad. If you go to the next one, though, there's more versions of that. I don't know. I ate the last peach. Yeah, ripe peach. Like, why would you leave it?
I don't understand why it's such a point of contention. Like, in a normal household, the parents come first. Like, they're the ones that get first dibs on the food because they're the ones that buy it.
The dude paying for everything.
Yeah.
The dude who cooked all the meals.
Yeah, the kids don't get to dictate what their parents eat. That's an inversion of normality.
But also, like, it's not like they're struggling. They're doing very well for themselves, being kid pod. You got the next one here. There's more peach memes, which blew up. They don't know I'm saving this peach for the kids. Yeah, of course.
It's so silly.
It's just all the dads dancing. Oh, the next one here, we just have more memes. Peach time. It's just like, the dude's just living his life. He's providing. He's doing great. And you're just sat there all resentful, making cartoons about how he's a bad guy. It's just like, no, he's not. He's not. And then I love the last one here, though, which is just, you know, dad's drinking wine. That's all he brings when he goes out with the kids.
Driving wine.
You don't have driving wine.
That's what it says.
What are you doing if you don't
drive wine? It's not even drinking wine.
No. Well, it's for both, isn't it? No, I can't advocate that, can I? So we're going to her comics as well, because people started making her comics for her instead. Just, am I doing this right? Me, carrying the kids, always right. Love the spelling. Never complains, does everything, does all the shopping and chores, except she doesn't. Her stupid husband, who's lazy, stupid, balding, does nothing, always playing on the Nintendo Switch. His boyfriend brought him after vasectomy. Would love him, but his IT job pays all the bills. Sorry, would leave him, but all the IT money pays for everything.
Good Freudian slip, though.
Yeah, and there you have it. And I do love the response from the internet, and that's why it all blew up. Again, we're just covering what happened. But then her last response, her most recent response, is the worst one. It just shows that she learned nothing. Let's go to it. There you are. When a woman says anything on the internet, There's a bunch of like snakes and pointing fingers of abuse.
Yes, because only women ever get negative feedback on the internet. We've never had any detractors at all, have we?
No hate mail, which enjoy.
It's also be fair, it is fun.
Yeah, you're going to have that mindset to it. But instead, you know, the internet blew up being like, well, this lady seems really inconsiderate to her husband. Also, like, he's a really nice guy. Like, what the heck? And so then people started commenting and she's like, oh, this is horrible. She goes on to say in here that this one goes out to all the new trolls who have come over from Twitter to say horrible things to me and judge me and my marriage for just a few comics. Quite a few. It wasn't just a few. It's also,
I mean, if you air your dirty laundry, don't be surprised when people point at the stains. I mean,
yeah. I mean, you're making this all public. This isn't some hidden situation. But also the fact that, like, you live in the dream. Like, this dude is such a stand-up guy in every regard that you point out. And you're like, ugh, yeah. But he smells. She says, don't waste your time, guys. I will just keep plugging and deleting all day long. And then the hashtags. Look at these hashtags. You scroll down on there, John, on the Instagram side. Friggin' hell. Hashtag moms for moms. Hashtag women's rights. Hashtag female empowerment. You do nothing. Hashtag feminism. Hashtag women of illustration. Hashtag women illustrators. Creative women. Womanhood. Mother life. Real motherhood. Honest motherhood. Mum life unfiltered. Mothers... I can't go on.
I'm hearing is she's got too much time on her hands imagining up hashtags, which is part of the reason why I don't go on Instagram in the first place.
Who writes like, hashtag mum's truth, hashtag mum comics, hashtag tired mums, hashtag tired mum, hashtag... Hashtag feminist memes. Oh, that gold mine.
No wonder she does nothing. She spends all her time writing hashtags for bloody Instagram.
But I also love how her most recent comic is also an Old Faithful. You must remember the Old Faithful version of this. If you're the next one here, just the last comic. Feminist opinions. Internet not happy about the opinions. Help misogyny. There you are. That's what happens when you spread your DS. But that's it. And I suppose until then, we shall just end on this. I suppose this is how the father is taking all things, which is just living his life. Again, doing all the bills, doing all the dinners. I mean, again, living the dream. Like, you know, I want to see the next cartoon just being like, my wonderful husband. That's all people want to see. And instead she went with, why do people hate my opinions? And that's why she blew up. That's why it became an internet story. I feel like internet historian doing these sometimes, but there we are.
Very much in that vein, isn't it?
I'm sure he will make a future run-up. Otherwise, let's go to the video comments.
A friend who is a literary agent told me that he cannot even get editors to read first novels by young white male writers. No matter how good, they are just not interested.
When I was trying to get my book published, I sent my manuscript to every single literary agent I could find, and every single one of them came back and said, sorry, we're not qualified to represent you.
What do you mean not qualified to represent? Oh yeah, because you're white. That was the point, idiot. But there we have it. Yeah, but again, it's just the world we live in. This is why I see that it's okay to be a white thing. I hate when people are like, oh my god, it might be a bit edgy. It's like, no, that's civil rights. I mean, genuinely civil rights.
It's not even a strong opinion, just it's okay. It's all right. Blacks, take it or leave it.
Yeah, they're fine. let's go to the next one.
I find it interesting that we're starting to see more left-wing pushback against refugee resettlement now that they've realized that pale-skinned Ukrainians could be refugees as well. I suppose their hatred of Russians could only take them so far before their hatred of white people reasserted itself.
Sorry, they've started hating the Ukrainian refugees.
Yeah, that's been lost on me. I suppose they're trying to limit them because Eastern Europeans and therefore probably based, probably anti-communist.
Oh, right, yeah. Feel those Ukrainian brides might be radicalizing the Germans.
That's the last thing we need. More radical Germans.
Actually, that's a good idea.
When there's a recession, hyperinflation, I mean...
So have you heard of this Azov seeing husband? A terrible Ukrainian accent. Let's go to the next one.
To answer Callum's question, this is a Browning action. It is a type of delayed blowback. After the bullet leaves the barrel and the slide start to move backwards from reaction. After the slide is moved back slightly, the barrel tilts downwards and unlocks from the slide, allowing the slide to continue cycling backwards, and then loading a new case into the chamber. This delay in ejection is to keep the case from blowing out from pressure.
So it's because it's called a floating barrel. You see on the barrel, kind of has a little lip on the barrel. And because it's pointing upwards, it kind of feeds a lot easier into that lip. And I feel bad for you Brits who don't have this privilege or this right. So, sucks to you.
No, I love it. I love learning about how guns work as well.
I think it's just a rite of passage for a man to know about guns, even if we can't legally, we can't legally own some of them.
Are you going to come shotgun shooting with me and Nick when he comes back?
I would love to go shotgun shooting.
It's going
to
be somewhere up.
I'm going to dress up in tweed and go pheasant hunting.
Be a good S-post if nothing else. But yeah, I always had this childhood dream of becoming a gunsmith. Like, that was my dream job when I was a kid. I have no idea if you could ever make money doing that in this day and age. Probably
I'm sure you probably could. You can make custom-built ones in Britain. I mean, you can own an AR-15 in Britain as long as it's single fire.
My mind is immediately going to Zoomers, and I've seen some of the, like, you know, meme guns people have requested to be made from people. You've seen those?
I think I know a few.
I think it's / K on 4chan is the weapons forum. There's loads of memes that come out of there. It's just like people are like, yeah, here's my custom made My Little Pony shooter.
I've seen that, yeah.
Although it would be funny, I mean, if you get some mugger breaking into some guy's house or having all this stuff, and then his girlfriend comes out. And she's just like, ooh, woo, pulls out a pistol with My Little Pony, so I just blows you in the head. Hello Kitty.
Imagine the news story after that. Man shot by...
Hello Kitty pistol.
That'd be like desecrating a corpse almost. There's no honour in that, is there?
You break into a tomboy streamers. Sorry, not tomboy. What are they? The femboys streamer. And he just pulls out his My Little Pony rifle. I feel like that burglar's family would just be like, well, you know. Nothing of value was lost. Can't even win that one. Anyway, let's go to the next video.
Did used to have in this country some really profound thinkers. Yep. We really did, before Blair.
Yeah.
You know, John Smith, actually, as a good example.
Peter Shaw.
Tony Benn, you know.
Enoch Powell.
I was refreshed to hear Fred and Richard mention Enoch Powell. For any Lotus Eaters who do not know of him, please look him up. And also this interview from the Dick Cavett Show, where he runs rings around both Cavett and Jonathan Miller. Additionally, look up his prescient and incorrectly named Rivers of Blood speech.
It is like watching a nation busily engaged in heaping up its own funeral pyre.
He was spot on about mass immigration.
He was a leftist. He underplayed the damage it would do and the numbers.
What, Enoch Powell?
Yeah.
You sure?
You're not sure? We went over this in a premium podcast, just like the speech itself. It's just like the numbers. He was like, oh my God, you know, whole streets might change. Streets? No, way, way worse than he ever predicted, which is, I highly recommend Alex's advice there. Go and check out that interview on the.
That is a good interview. I've seen that one before, yeah.
Yeah, and then remember that it's far worse than that. God, sorry, I just got piles, so right. So Baron von Volhoek says, I know this is a meme, but this is just like 1984, when Winston is tortured by the police for blasphemy against Big Brother, yet the police are having nice chats with the murderers and rapists in the Ministry of Love Building. Yeah, I don't think they were they murderers and rapists? Because they were proles, weren't they?
I can't remember. I read it when I was quite young. So, I was like 16, 17.
When he gets put in the Ministry of Love, there's party members who are the ones who get tortured and re-educated, whereas the proles, they don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And they're engaging in like theft and all kinds of, probably murder and rape. And the guards are just like laughing with them, giving them cigarettes and stuff, because they just don't matter. They're not political actors, so anything they engage with is worthless. And that is entirely what the police are. It is an accurate
description. Does sound like that, yeah.
Paul Newbar says, are they still keeping data on people for non-crime hate incidences? Yes, 120,000 of them. I can't think of that number.
It's so unnecessarily large. Imagine all the wasted police time. Oh. How many thefts, murders, assaults?
That's our voters. I'm joking. But there are going to be people who are basically being done in for political crimes, not criminal crimes. Because there's, I remember one that was, I think it was in like 2015 or something. Someone asked the Met some examples. And one of the examples they dug out to talk about this was that someone had handed a handbag in Lidl to a customer in a homophobic manner, which wasn't a crime in and of itself, but it was a non-crime hate incident because the homophobic handling of the carrier bag. I don't know how they knew that. I mean, maybe it was, ooh, I don't know.
Sorry, that breaks the handing over of the handbag in a homophobic manner act.
There's 120,000 of those in the police files. God. So Ardent Party, sorry, Party, says on the criminal meme, Josh, it's not just that the police could prioritize certain calls, it's that they should in fact be deciding to charge people who call up claiming I was caused anxiety by a meme as public nuisances. That should be criminal charge, in my opinion, and I believe it is under Canadian law a criminal charge to make a frivolous call to the police.
Mm-hmm. I wish it was illegal to do so, because it is a waste of their time. However, it's not the law, unfortunately, so I can't expect them to do something that is, well.
So wasting police time is a crime in the UK, because he's Canadian, mm-hmm. I don't know. But also, it is a crime to post these things, thanks to Section 127. So officially, they aren't wasting police time. Mm-hmm. And anyone who calls up to say an MP's tweet is breaking the law, or any of these police officers are breaking the law, or any public figure, Jimmy Carr, when he posts a special, if he writes to the police and say he broke Section 127, you wouldn't be wasting their time either, because you would actually be following the law and reporting it as such. Which, honestly, I think the only way we are going to get out of this is malicious compliance with that at this point. Don't know how else we're going to do it. Brown von Warhawk says, oi, 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 he got a license for that meme, mate. Is that a Pepe? 20 years to Australia, mate. Certainly is. accent was. Colin P says, the police visiting people for memes causes me anxiety. Too bad. You could just go suck a fat one. Edward Woodstock says, someone has been given anxiety by his post. I get anxious during job interviews. Does that mean that if I don't get the job, I can ask them to arrest the interviewer if I don't get it? That is ridiculous. If you get anxiety, it's not the fault of you, but not on them. Stop caring so much. Yeah, also, if it was via Zoom, that would be on the internet. Therefore, it would be a crime. So
the trick is, interview someone via Zoom, and if they don't give you the job, get them arrested. And then create such a backlog of cases that they're not going to possibly feasibly get for any of them, and therefore the police themselves call to scrap the law, saying it's impeding our work.
I mean, I do feel we're on the Joker train here. It's like, how are we going to fix society? By crashing this plane. We can rebuild the plane from the scraps.
Shall I read some comments?
Yep.
So, Free Will 2 on 12. When ideology and fanaticism inform the decision-making process of a medical practice, terrible mistakes will occur. The only criteria for clinical intervention should be informed medical investigation. The ideologues in all public services need to be driven out of their positions. Absolutely.
Frankly, some of them need criminal charges.
Of course.
The failing on the safeguard.
They have a safeguarding obligation, and I mean, there's that you could argue that there's a legal philosophy in Britain where we have manslaughter, where you're unintentionally providing harm to someone else. Well, you can even make the case that these practitioners are intentionally creating harm for someone. So, I mean, under that sort of underlying moral legal philosophy, you can easily rationalize some sort of legislation to target them. I'm not sure exactly, because I'm not a lawyer, but I can either feasibly see there being some in the future, or there already being some that could be used, but I don't know the law inside out, unfortunately.
Fair enough.
So, Baron von Warhawk, the trans fad movement has to be stopped. I know it's a meme, but the trans suicide rate is still 42%. For comparison, the death percentage on D-Day was 11%. This means you have a better chance of surviving Omaha Beach than getting old as a trans person. This closing of this clinic can only help the world. Yes.
Ben Shapiro mentions the suicide rate of trans people in the United States, according to that figure, is also worse than Jews under the Holocaust.
That's pretty horrific.
So it's because of the bullying that it's so high, because, you know, bullying in trans people in the United States is worse than Jews under the Holocaust. I mean, it's just to show that it's not culture that's done this.
Definitely not an extension of an identity disorder where you feel disassociated with your own body and therefore you want to mutilate that body to end your life. I mean, it's not in any way related to that, of course.
It's the bullying you face.
Yeah.
You know, just like the Jews didn't. That's why he brings that up, because it's just so comical.
Robert Longshaw, that guy didn't mutilate himself. The doctors did. They convinced him his best course of action to fix his mental issue was chopping off his wedding tackle. I think because he was an adult, you can still hold him responsible for the decision in part, although I'd say the doctors, in giving them professional advice, did play a significant role. I think when we're dealing with adults, albeit vulnerable adults with mental health issues, you still can't hold them not responsible for their actions, because then we get into a difficult problem of, say, someone committed a crime and you know, do you hold them legally responsible if they've got a mental illness? Well, the answer is still yes, to some extent.
It's almost like a cell death for a policeman. I mean, yeah, someone has to face charges for this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you were put in charge of the health card of this child and you've destroyed them.
Mm-hmm.
How's the matter with you?
Jay Young, give it another decade and the NHS will be bankrupt from lawsuits because of this recent trend in normalising mental health, sexual deviancy and ruining confused teenagers' lives. Here's hoping. I would love the NHS to be privatised. That'd be great. Colin P, not malpractice, child abuse. I would argue they're one of the same. I mean, if you're conducting malpractice, it's child abuse. I mean, it's just me being me having the psychological background. I'm just using the clinician's language. Colin P, but if you stop us sterilizing children, how will we achieve our population reduction aims? Oof.
Brother makes a good point.
He does indeed. And I'm going to do a couple more before you read the next ones. So, Maureen Peters, the single clinic is being closed, but there are plans to establish a new system of regional clinics, starting with two fully operational centres in London and Manchester, starting spring 2023, so that there will be a smooth transition in service provision. Further three hubs are planned to pop up like a bunch of McDonald's branches later on. I know, yeah. I did mention that, but I think from the wording of the person overviewing the case of the Tavistock Clinic, they're going to be operating differently and with more focus on treating the clearly underlying mental health conditions that they have. I mean, having depression is probably a good thing to sort out before you start taking drugs, I would say.
Sorry, it's so close to, like, you know, post-nut clarity. It's like, how about you sort your life out before you make this big decision? Mm-hmm.
it's a good way of putting it, to be fair. Yeah. All the men will at least understand that.
We can sort that with transition, at least.
General Hyping, I've got a horrid feeling that this kind of work will become more privatised and harder to openly track. More than likely, with continued funding from our oh-so-conservative government, if recent years have taught me anything, that once exposed to sunlight, these organisations tend to go underground rather quickly. Yes, like the creatures that they are. Right.
Sorry, I suppose I'll move on to the feminist gibberish. I wonder if you did get any psychoanalyzing out of her. I don't know if it's a healthy thing to do with random people on the internet.
Well, I can't help but do it. I mean, it's especially with stuff like that. Like, you can tell that she lives such a privileged, sheltered life that the things she has to complain about are just really, really mild, invented inconveniences. It's not like he went out all night drinking and came back smelling of another woman's perfume, is it? It's, oh, well, he ate the last peach. Oh, he goes out with the kids with only his car keys.
I imagine most of the women who watch that are going to just be like, well, I imagine my, you know, let's think, I want that.
But to be honest, he's making us all look bad, is what he's doing.
Calm down, peach.
So actually, maybe I'm on her side. Down with this guy. He's making us look bad.
But is this the differential between, like, I have to make the bed sometimes with... Women will never be free until men take up the duties in the house. That post.
God. I'm pretty sure it was Women of the World Unite. You've got nothing to lose but your bed sheets, isn't it?
So Free Will 2112 says, no room for hate in this space. And yet these people drip hate out of every pore. Their vitriol for those who disagree with them spews out on social media like an unstoppable torrent. Mark Thomas says the probability is that the husband of the mum comic page spends all that time in the bathroom to get the hell away from her.
You can't blame him, can you?
You can only speculate. So Baron von Warhawk says, so this guy cleans the house, cooks the meals, works to bring home the bacon, never strikes the kids, and overall just seems like a swell guy. How is he the bad guy again? I know plenty of women who would kill for a guy like that, and this wife does nothing yet takes everything from him while bad-mouthing him. Besides, the dude works 9 to 5 all week to support his kids and his parasite. He damn well earned his peach.
Yeah, it's the peach tax. That's what it is. It's the one thing he gets.
Yeah. Well, I literally do all the work, clean the beds, get all the groceries, make the dinners. But a peach is too much.
I think this guy needs a welfare check. I think he might be held hostage. It's like a Gone Girl situation.
Yeah. So Kevin M says, a mum life, pretty much a poser child for live, laugh, love. Oof, that's a bit tough. You know, stupid things. I mean, foreigners might not.
Of course.
Basically, I don't know if it's IKEA or who the hell's selling them, but you get like all these different stupid house things where it's like a sign or like a love heart with like.
I've been in people's houses where I've seen them
carvings,
in the wild.
Paintings. I've seen embroidery with it. Just this stupid live, laugh, love everywhere.
I was so pleased when I showed my mum one of them, and she was just like, that's so tacky. And I was like, yes, mum. Well done.
Hideous. Henry Ashman says, I feel so sorry for that woman. Yeah, we're going to get so many people being like, looking at their thing, I liked it. Anyway, sorry, just not a personal taste of mine. So he says, I feel so sorry for that woman. It's such a disaster that her husband won't make the bed. I know, right? If only there was another adult in the house who was capable of such an arduous task as making the bed. Who knows? Maybe they have a weighted blanket, that requires an absolute giga-chad of a man to even lift it. I doubt it, though, as such a man would have probably ditched her years ago. Yeah, again, I don't want to analyze her relationship too much, but it certainly seems that there's a reason she blew up on the internet. That's for damn sure.
To be fair, it does sound like she lives under a rock, so it might be quite heavy.
How does her vote equal to anyone else? I'm sorry to get back to it.
Forever document this day, because this is the day that Callum lost faith in democracy, one meme at a time.
Oh, yeah. I love democracy. Just, you know, a lot of people shouldn't vote.
Uh-oh, Palpatine.
Shouldn't be allowed to.
I love democracy.
Everyone who's like that shouldn't. Andrew Narok says, good lord, the sheer luxury she lives in, able to afford a cleaning service every month. And here I thought she was supposed to be the cleaning service, according to her complaints. There's another thing. She's like, oh god, I have to clean so much, but I have someone in once a month to do everything.
That's... If you can't even clean your own house, you've got no right to complain about the state of your living.
Also, it's just not that hard. I mean, like, I keep going back. My mum worked really bloody hard as a childminder. I mean, like, a peak. I remember once, you know, there'd be a small period in between after picking up kids, childminding. She'd have 9 kids. And then she's got us 3 boys. And those 9 kids would be in the conservatory playing, making messes and all sorts of nonsense she'd have to deal with. And then she's there with her two, 3-year-olds. And be like, oh, it's impossible to keep up on all this laundry. Shut up. I mean, especially like, you know when you're young and you complain, because I had this experience about, like, you know, doing the dishes. You don't want to do the dishes. It sucks. And then I got a job as a KP, you know, clean dishes all day in a
kitchen
restaurant.
Kitchen porter.
Yeah. And then you come back home and someone complains about a whole dish in the thing. You just look at them in contempt and just think, a whole dish, huh? Again, like, even if she does clean all the house, even if she didn't have the cleaning company, this is not, you know, a palace. It really annoys me. So Maureen Peters says, I would expect another username from someone who seems to despise her own family enough to constantly post passive-aggressive comics about them on the internet. On the other hand, maybe she believes it is normal for a wife and mother to think like that. Maybe. Maybe that's where she lives, just so all the mums are... I don't think they are. I think probably all the other mums are like, Jesus, we met her. I suppose on that note, it's time to end the show. So more from us. Of course, you can go to latestheaters.com. To access all the stuff we mentioned and subscribe to help run the show. Well, front the show. Otherwise, that's enough from me, and we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.